Oh man.
Yeah.
I mean Y2K, baby.
I know.
The
I remember that
formerly
shit.
Known as.
God, I was I was on a roof in El Paso, Texas during New Year's Eve Y2K, looking out over the city and Juarez.
It's like we could always just move to Juarez.
No, I was curious because I didn't really believe what was going on. I was God, I can't even remember how old I was, but I was like early teens, maybe. I was like, man, we'll see if some shit happens. So me and my buddies are sitting on this rooftop drinking beer, like world might end. Cool.
Because there's just not enough placeholders.
Yeah. Well, strangely enough, so one of the first languages I learned, programming languages, was COBOL.
The Pixies? COBOL? Yeah. I did Red Hat. That was my first one.
COBOL. I can't even remember what it stands
for. Red Hat was my first. Mikey, who was your first?
Basic operating language.
DOS was like my first
coding
experience with... With any kind of prompt. No, I never really did any
batch
coding.
Processing. Yeah. No, I started out with, I'm sure it was basic or some flavor of basic, something like that. And then Snowball, COBOL, Lisp, Fortran, the whole gamut. But anyway, COBOL was like old school, and it was fairly specialized in a few things. Accounting procedures, large government operations, and... financial operation, from what I remember. But anyway, I thought, like, who the heck is ever using this? But apparently, because when you program something, and spoiler alert, for all the hackers out there that think they can't be hackers, learn C, then learn it again, then learn it again, because everything in the internet depends on C.
Yeah.
Similar with COBOL. Apparently, the entire financial system was based on... Did I say COBOL?
Yeah.
Okay, COBOL. COBOL.
There we go.
COBOL. COBOL.
So there is no T in it.
There's no T. No. Like Pascal ain't Pascal. It's Pascal.
I guess it depends on what region of the country you're in.
But anyway. It was kind of strange because I actually knew some of the stuff and I was thinking... how is this stuff not, superseded by something else? And I think that's what I really learned, just how archaic all these systems were. They're just like old bridges that are around that they haven't replaced.
Well, yeah, if it's not broke, why would you try to fix it?
Exactly.
Until you can just integrate it.
Well, what does a bridge need to do?
Stand up until it fails.
Right.
Nailed it.
So we need to learn Roman programming is what you're saying.
Something like that. Yep. Something like that.
Bridges that don't Aqueducts. Fail.
I think Red Hat was C based. C plus.
Well, early Linux kernel.
Yeah.
So I remember when they came up. Some of the early distributions of the kernel, because in the computer labs, they're NC State, so the computer labs up there, people were playing, God, I can't remember what the game was, but it was a Star Trek simulation. It was like basic text characters
I know what
or whatever.
You're talking about. Yeah.
And the whole thing was they used to put up clue check,
mm-hmm.
which meant, do you have a clue what's going on? And if you didn't, you get booted right away.
Yeah.
Nice. So you'd see the guys coming up like clue check. Klingons and Romulans and whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, nerd stuff.
See, that's really the first MMORPG right there.
Yeah,
I don't think
yeah,
we can
no,
go
actually for massive. Yeah, there were other distributed ones, but that was a definite massive one.
Yeah. And nobody knows.
The SysOp would come into the back of the system operator. System administrator.
The SysOp, see?
They would come to the back of the room thinking that you were hacking in something. But like, no, dude, I'm just trying to like turn left and take out the Klingon.
See, I got into like building computers more so than like more the hardware side of things versus the software side of things.
Me too, after a while, because I don't have the attention span that allows me to get good at coding.
Right. So I knew about C++ and C++ and like some of that stuff. And when I got to college, I had a roommate that was in coding, and I just remember him like pulling his hair out in front of the computer because of a random syntax error.
I can still like, I remember there was a guy that I was helping through some business course or whatever, and he tried to do the IT side of things, and he was doing some coding. I think it was in Python that I've never used Python before. And he was like, oh, we're coding in Python, this, that, and the other. Can you help me out? Write this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, I can try. I never used it. It took me about a week. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of the same thing, but a little different.
I started learning about Python in, I think, around, like, 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very accessible language, and it's really good for a whole lot of different stuff.
Yeah,
it really is.
Slow as fuck.
Well,
my God.
Well, it's like old school basic or batching stuff. Yeah, you know, you're going through, that's why it's so easy to get into. You don't get to the you know.
Well, because you can really just cut in, like, pieces, you know what I mean?
No, I was talking about the actual execution of the files, right? The processing overhead on Python.
Translator and compiler.
Yeah. It's really, really bad, but easy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So when it's all about making things accessible, right?
Yeah. You know, you don't want them light and tight. You want them heavy and loose.
God damn right.
What, Tom?
It's called a callback right there.
Sure is.
Because I don't think we're really talking about building science and, you know, thermohygrogrammatics or whatever the heck we want to.
I mean, this is quite the stimulating experience right now. We have like
large
bats in front of us.
That's right. Where are we? Where are we?
Oh, wait. Well, before that, this is not even the episode right now. So you guys ready?
Well, it could be. I think it should be. I mean, what?
Let's totally mess up the format and then let's play this and then go into it. And we're just going to do the whole thing all the way through.
You're the editor.
Behind the veil. None of this is getting edited, so, you know, enjoy the ride.
Well, none of it matters.
I'd say raw.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom.
Been trying to meet you.
God, I've heard that before.
This is a message to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
Hey, must be a devil.
Hold on, was that us on stage the other week?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
God, we sound better than I remember.
I know, right? Yeah, that was quite the night. Quite the night.
What do you mean night? Like nights? Like
they just all kind of blend together, right? At some point.
I got a couple favorites down there. I would not say it was the last one, but the Castanetas and...
I think you reading out the manual for Mercedes-Benz was one of the best ones we've done.
It's a high point. I fucking love the Pixies.
Them Germans got big words.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to 3 equals 5. It's been some time. We've missed y'all.
And apparently some of you have missed us.
Yeah. So that's all. Can't even speak anymore. That's our fault. For not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
See, that right there is why we don't do this anymore.
Exactly.
Guilt. The guilt. It's too much.
Well, it's definitely not that for me.
No, it's absolutely not.
Yeah. So we are doing this episode in the bowels of one of our favorite establishments.
The bowels. I like that.
Yeah.
Not the toilet.
Well, no, not the toilet. We're not in a bathroom. I mean, that would be pretty...
Speaking of bowels.
Yeah.
There are a lot of processes that go on here that go on your bowels.
I feel like this is the heartbeat. You know, this is the heart of the of the operation here.
It's more like the lower gastrointestinal, you know, little fermentation.
Is this the bladder?
Anaerobic processes.
We're in the bladder of the brewery. It just pisses out beer.
Well, I think the bladder is the brewery. So.
We are in the brew side of Rail House Brewery.
Absolutely.
Place we know and love.
Yeah. There are many, many, many tanks around us. Tubes, piping, fans.
Yeah.
All of such things.
If you can't tell by the audio quality already.
I think Mike's the only one that's ever going to notice. Yeah.
Well, no, because I'm never going to listen to it. We've covered
then
that.
Mike's never going to notice.
He will. This will be a Clockwork Orange moment for him. He'll get held down.
Well, we already know it's the end of times, right?
It is the end of time. That's right.
His ears held open.
The first is last.
Tom showed up early.
Yep.
John was basically on time.
As always.
And I was late.
So a complete inversion.
I know. It's a sign. It's a sign, folks.
So a little bit of backstory on you know what's been going on with the podcast recently is we've had a few spikes since the UAP alien discovery.
Really?
Yes.
Alien, so, man.
So I guess more people searched our podcast because of what was going on in DC than any of our other episodes.
Yeah. Hashtags are a thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yep. You can thank keyword somebody search. For that. I don't know. But
keyword search. So I had nothing to do with it.
No. You had Facebook. You had one job.
And I didn't. And honestly, I didn't do it very well. So. Look, it's hard being the talent, all right?
So what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear about biologics?
That term bothered me.
Why?
Because I've never really heard it before, and it just didn't seem. Like, why wouldn't you just say you found biological material?
All right, as background, I think we're talking about the testimony before
Congress.
Well, yeah. The House representatives or three or four individuals.
Some kind of oversight committee.
Bipartisan. There was like Democrats and Republicans. It was like a love fest. They're like, we're getting to the bottom of this. And some guys testifying up there. And he'd made some press before about leaking some stuff, and he used the term biologics, right?
Yes.
He didn't say aliens. He said what? Non.
He said it wasn't
human intelligence or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah. All right. So I have, since there's no format to this whatsoever, I've got a little snippet from, I think it's Forbes, talking about the hearing. So if you guys want to take a listen to this real quick,
let's check it out.
Yeah. Richard himself. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Garcia. I would like to have you on my legislation to do just that on the reporting, and we'll get together on that. Maybe you can be my co-sponsor on that. That'd be really
cool.
Oh, that's
cute.
Thank you.
That's bipartisanship right there.
Mr. Graves, again, I'd like to know, how do you know that these were not our aircraft?
Some of the behaviors that we saw in a working area, we would see these objects being at 0.0 Mach, that's zero airspeed, over certain pieces of the ground. So what that means, just like a river, if you throw a bobber in, it's going to float downstream.
A bobber?
These objects were staying completely stationary in Category 4 hurricane winds. These same objects would then accelerate to supersonic speeds, 1.1, 1.2 Mach, and they would do so in very erratic and quick behaviors that I don't have an explanation for.
Okay. One sec, because I want to unpack that a little bit.
I'm sure you would have.
Relative... So,
but we're going to keep
observed at fucking zero airspeed, right? Relative to what?
To what? Right,
was there radar contact? Was there anything? Like, I get it. If you're up there flying and you're saying you're flying in hurricane force winds and you're observing a stationary object, that can mean a lot of things. It may be stationary relative to your position, which could be a lot of stuff, right? So, yeah, that's just my initial.
So you're saying it's relative.
It could. What I'm saying is, like, you can't definitively say that it's one way or another, right? You can say, hey, I observed this phenomenon from this vantage point. This is
so. In other words, if two, I'm going to try to break that down a little bit farther, just a little bit farther. So you have two aircraft moving at the exact same speed to each other, they would be relatively 0.0.
Thank you for describing.
Yes.
Relativity, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, that's exactly how it works.
For the layperson, it is. Relative to something else.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. If
they're both, if something's moving at 400 miles an hour, the other thing's moving at 400 miles an hour, relative to each other.
They're standing still.
They're standing still.
Yeah.
As strange as that may seem, but
yeah, there's
no movement between the two because they're pacing the same.
And unless you have like definite radar contact, you can't judge closing speed or anything like that.
Yeah, it's like being on the highway. Two cars are going 60 miles an hour relative to each other. There's no difference in how much distance they're closing, how far apart they're going. They're going the same speed. So relatively speaking, there's no change.
Right. And that's what that means.
And this dude is a wordsmith.
Oh, definitely.
Par excellence. Every time it's like, you know, I can easily see what you're doing here, buddy.
Do you want to give this a little bit more?
Yeah.
Have you spoken to commercial and military pilots? That have seen these off of our East Coast?
I have.
Okay. Mr. Favor.
He seems way too excited to be there.
I noticed that and the Tic Tac video.
Tic Tac.
It's Tic Tac, like the candy.
I remember this
TikTok,
part.
TikTok, like the Chinese communist
his daughter.
App.
That's correct.
Yes, sir. I just want to make that
America.
Because my daughter corrected me on that and called me a boomer and said, hey, boomer. And I said, no, baby, it's Tic Tac.
This
like
guy's amazing. Yeah.
But now I would also like to say today is a day of many firsts. It's a miracle that we're having this meeting, and it's also a miracle that sure my wife has put up with me for 9 years today. Today is my anniversary, so I want to tell my wife happy anniversary and that I love her very much.
Is it the second, third, or fourth?
As she likes to say,
definitely
this 9
third.
Years have been the best 2 years of her life. So,
Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
And now Mr. he's on Faber, his fourth.
Somebody got laid this
what,
morning.
What astonished you the most about the flight capabilities of these Tic Tac, very briefly?
The performance. Absolute performance. It was...
And you're not aware of any other objects that anybody in the world has, in this world, that has those capabilities?
No, I think it's far beyond actually our material science that we currently possess.
All right, I'm going to stop there real quickly. I'm going to pull something out of this that may or may not be there. He said world twice. He said our world and world. He already knows aliens exist.
Okay.
You see where I'm going with that?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could extrapolate that.
That would be the slip of the tongue, proverbially, because he got laid this morning. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean
it could also be?
I thought you were talking about the guy testifying. You're talking about the congressman.
The congressman
apparently been abducted and lives with the aliens.
Yeah. Because he said this world and he said the world and it like there were two separate entities.
I was not tracking at all. I was like, I am not taking out that testimony. What you're taking?
No.
I'm just saying that's well, how he said it.
The folks that got this thing going were very enthusiastic to get it going.
We say retarded things all the time. I'm just saying.
Bipartisan support.
Well,
I heard it was the most
all right there.
I heard it was the most feel good hearing that Congress has ever had.
Well,
there were even well. Anyway, keep going. Thursday, yeah.
Aside from Zoom calls with Tubin, but yeah.
Are you aware of any other reconnaissance platforms that have tracked or recorded the Tic Tacs maneuvers?
Maybe any
the
other
NORAD system or any of the others?
I am not.
Okay, Mr. Brush. Not. Thank you for being here, brother. Thank you all very much. Have you faced any retaliation or reprisals for any of your testimony or anything on these lines?
I'm waiting
for it. Yeah, I have to be careful what I say in detail because there is an open whistleblower reprisal investigation on my behalf, and I don't want to compromise that investigation by providing anything that may...
this guy sounds like a chode.
...help provide somebody information.
This
but
is a soldier that
it was
went
very
to IG.
Brutal and very unfortunate. 100%. Some of the tactics they
he
used
hurt my
to,
feelings.
Hurt me both professionally and personally. To be
I have
frank.
Rehearsed
oh,
this
shit.
For
he actually
16
said
weeks, but I got
target,
it down.
That's when they do the most firing at you. Do you have any personal knowledge of people who have been harmed or injured in efforts to cover up or conceal these extraterrestrial technology?
Yes. Personally.
That's a very bold statement.
Have anyone been murdered? That you would that you know of
damn.
Or have heard of.
What is
I have
hurt?
To be
were there feelings
asking
hurt?
That question.
Oh, he
I
can't.
Directed people with that knowledge to the appropriate authorities.
Maybe in a if we could
get to the skiff.
Exactly, that's what I'm waiting for too. Like I knew.
So he
knew he brought
he's
it up.
Gonna,
multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. So he's probably going to do this here again. But so the irony of this to me is like all of the folks listening to us, obviously, and other podcasts and everything. Right? They're searching for various different alternatives to like maybe there are aliens, maybe there is like, you know, deep state type shit going on, like, you know, maybe we're in contact with lizard people, whatever the case may be, right?
Well, that's an entirely different
subject. And to be very clear, like the people testifying, like the guy testifying is a former military guy. So like part of me feels like it's certainly not within Congress's best interest to try to
It's the PSYOP, right?
So discredit this guy like in front of everybody, right?
But also
it sends an entirely different message.
I think we're skipping ahead a beat right there, buddy.
Well, maybe I'll get back. I'll circle back to that later.
Where is the suspense to the programming, sir?
Well, there is none. This is just raw. This is just straight raw.
But I got to say, I don't know who this representative is, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm just waiting for him to say, you know, buddy, I think we need to go have a beer.
You know what that senator likes? Tom, do you know what that senator likes?
Yes, I do.
He likes riding around drinking beer.
Yes, he does.
Hell yeah.
Can I interest you in a cold one? Buddy, let's talk.
How many people did you know that got murdered?
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus. It's just.
Yeah, all kinds.
Like it. I like it. You know.
So the irony that I was trying to get to is the fact that if there was a government conspiracy and people were getting murdered because of trying to let things out, it would be the government itself that would be doing it. And he is asking these questions, and like, this is so behind the looking glass.
No, exactly. There is no better entity to hold this hearing than the government.
Well, it is like
state's convention.
It's not the fourth wall. It's almost not the fifth wall. It's almost like the sixth wall that we're going to.
There's
like
so back many
and
layers.
Forth, back and forth.
Like, yeah.
Huh.
It's good stuff.
I think what you're really saying is.
Do you know that what I'm saying is that I'm going to murder you?
Yes. And when we talk about murder.
So history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes, right? I forgot who said that. But RFK is going for the presidency right now.
Oh.
The alien thing's popping off. Like, could it not
be... Are we going
to
Mars?
Could it not be a more interesting time in American politics when it comes to this kind of thing? I'm not talking about Trump. I'm not talking about Biden. I'm talking about just this nonsense that's going on.
I can't
right
wait
now.
Until we get to the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Like, if that's the case.
Yeah.
I think since the American Revolutionary War, about that time.
Back when we didn't pay taxes.
With the
cheers.
I had to get it in there.
Back before the government started robbing us.
I only have so many shots left.
At least once an episode. And I'm just going to preempt you. Taxation is theft.
That's right. Goddamn right.
So anyway, what I'm saying, this is probably the, politically speaking anyway, the most interesting time in American history since that time, the founding of our nation, because there is just so much batshit crazy stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. That,
you know, if we were looking at another country, this is like Argentina. This is like East Germany. I mean, this is like so much off the charts, disinformation, crazy stuff, like somebody getting attacked, somebody else getting attacked, feed stories left and right.
Yeah.
We would be like, well, obviously, that's just like, you know, and we would be talking such junk about them, but I think we're really topping it. Because
We're America.
No, because aliens, man.
Yeah.
You really jump the shark when you bring in the aliens.
I mean, something's going to come up from this, but I will say that since we lost our credit rating yesterday for the country, things are going to get hard. They're going to get hard.
Did we?
Yeah.
What is it? I missed that.
Of course you did.
I'm so well informed.
Well, you know, it was a perfect time for me to jump on my own. See that? I'm not saying that's what caused it, but.
Oh, shit. God damn. I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't even put that together. I apologize. Let's get through this. This is more fun.
No, I actually made this prediction, somebody.
Area skiff. We could talk about that.
There it is. There we go. Got to get that skiff.
We were denied access to the skiff, and that's very unfortunate
Do they talk about, like, at all of what a skiff actually is?
No, somebody does, I think, later in the hearing. And this thing goes on for like 9 hours or something.
Yeah, I got like a five minute, 25 second clip. I wasn't going to do the full
thing, this guy is the best out of all. I really is.
But so a skiff basically is
secret compartmentalized information facility.
Okay, so what does that mean though?
It means so it's an area where you cannot take personal electronic devices. There's a lot of security standards that go into it. Basically, it is literally the most secure place that you can exchange.
So lead-lined walls, Faraday cage-esque.
Theoretically. You and I have both been to places like, wait a minute, that's the skiff? Cracking.
In other words, a skiff is whatever you want it to be.
I am.
But there's certain standards. There's certain signal standards to it.
Correct. In theory.
In theory.
In theory. In theory, it's good theory.
Yeah,
good theory.
I mean, if they actually applied that
theory and practice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But ultimately, it's supposed to be an area where you can pass around classified.
When they say they were denied a skiff, right? Bullshit.
Well, no. Apparently, later on or earlier, wherever in the testimony, everybody was allowed access except one person, and I don't know who that person is. But apparently, for him to be. This is another great thing. For him to, I think he said, I may have this.
Was he a briefer or was he a senator?
No, I think the guy that was testifying said that he needed somebody else in there to be able to go back to the skiff. And I'm like, well, just
that's
get
because
the people
he,
you can.
It's because he doesn't have a TSSEI. I mean,
oh, no, yeah. The guy testifying, but he's so they're all quick. No, no, but you've got to be.
The only time you
to
have to be
into,
escorted into a skiff is if you don't have the appropriate read-ons or clearance to be.
What that was, not approve him for the read-on, is what I understood.
Okay. Yeah. That makes
he
sense.
He had the clearances, my understanding, sure. But they just were not approved for the read-on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
All right. So, a little background. People think when you have a certain clearance level, you just like, there's a treasure trove.
You get all the government secrets, right? All of them?
All of them. Alpha to Omega.
The basis for
nobody got.
And
that
again, yet. This is I don't. This is theory, not practice, because it's I would say a bit leaky. But in theory, you can have every level of clearance, but you have a need to know. And if you don't have a need to know, then you shouldn't know it. And that's the primary safeguard on any kind of secure information.
So there's no private internet where you get this special certification and you can go on to this network and say, I have this clearance, I'm going to look X, Y, and Z up, and therefore I can know it.
There's not, mines in there.
Yeah, there is mines. But no, I think that's how people think of it.
Like, they've got secret, top secret, whatever.
They can just walk anywhere?
Yeah,
no, they can't.
No, yeah. No, completely.
And the reason
the
why
clearance itself is just, that's the baseline access to that level of information.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And even if you have it, it doesn't mean that you know anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you've got to be able to have enough information to piece things together.
And that's why we compartmentalize information.
Exactly. So people talk about
one person.
Exactly. Stovepiping is actually a good thing in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and that's why the NSA and CIA and FBI and all those other people stop collaborating together.
Exactly. They've never talked to each other.
No.
And, there's no problem.
I'm being facetious, folks. This is one of my big pet peeves with the whole...
Everything's a trade-off. There's advantages for collaboration.
I don't want the government to be more efficient.
No, I remember someone was fairly young saying they did not want government to be efficient. And I said,
you want another 9/11?
You're damn right I do.
Can somebody pass me that beer?
I don't want them to have power beyond what's absolutely necessary, but I want them to be absolutely efficient when they have to do something.
But knowledge is power, Tom. The TV told me so.
Well, if you're going with that,
your mug has a break in it.
I know it's been broken for a long time.
I'm getting a new one too, and I'm taking this guy home.
Everybody listening is like, you guys are talking
that
about
sounded very romantic, Mike.
This is my OG.
I'm going to take this mug home.
Dude. I'm going to take him home.
Yeah.
I've had this mug for
a bunch of years. Speaking of cliffhangers, we're talking about all this secret stuff and people are listening. I'm like, oh, this is very interesting. And we're like, oh, and mugs.
And mugs. Well, I'm sorry. You know,
honestly,
fidget spinner in my mouth. So
my beer mug is way more important than
Everybody, please leave a comment. What do you think Tom's fidget spinner that he sticks in his mouth is? I'd be curious. I'd be curious to know what you guys
probably
think is going
came
on
across
right now.
Wrong there.
Any mental images are perfectly acceptable. Just let us know. Just let us know. You guys want to get through the rest of this?
Yeah, let's all do right.
In this scenario, Mr. Favor, you believe that you witnessed
his name's
an additional
not Mr. Favor.
Object under the water in relation to your encounter?
I will say we did not see an object. There was something there to cause the white water, and when we turned around, it was gone. So there was something there that obviously moved.
Okay, it was wow. Not the same object though that you were looking at, correct?
That's the
no.
F-18
we actually
pilot,
joked that
right.
The Tic Tac was communicating with something when we came back, and because the white water disappeared.
We were in another instance. We're told about the capabilities of a jamming during viewing of some of when there were some people chasing some of these objects. Did you experience any of that jamming or interrupting your radar or weapon system?
My crew that launched after we landed experienced significant jamming to the APG-73 radar, which was what we had on board, which is a mechanically scanned, very high-end system prior to the APG-79. Yep. And yes, it did pretty much everything you could do, range, velocity, aspect, and then it spit the lock, and the targeting pod is passive. That's what we were able to get the video on.
I'm about to run out of time, but are you aware of any of our enemies that have that capability?
No.
Okay.
That doesn't mean
would
that.
Also nor, like, nor no would he be. See, nor would he be aware
see,
of that.
This is all military. The way I see that, this is all military flexing.
Yeah.
All right, China and Russia.
I got you.
We are telling you, in the most open way we can,
that we know what you're doing.
No, that you can't match this.
Yeah.
Our own people don't even know the capabilities we have. And if you want to try to mess with us, you
I
have
like
no
that.
Idea like what's going to come down.
Yeah.
And that's actually a pretty common spin.
But also, I think it's a little bit of bluster because they had the hypersonics that came out.
There was a lot of talk about a lot of things.
There was confirmed hypersonics in Ukraine.
I'm not saying that the hypersonics didn't exist.
Yeah, but ICBMs are hypersonic. Actually, the hypersonics we have now are way slower than ICBMs. Yeah, way slower.
I mean, Tom.
The only thing is the trajectory. They're much lower, and they sound cooler because we've all heard of ICBMs.
They're in atmosphere, I guess. They're in atmosphere. I get why it's... Yeah.
I mean,
lower trajectory is harder to track.
Right.
In defeat.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got multiple reentry vehicles. I mean,
just
if
we want to get back
to some Cold War
stuff
here, duck
a
and
really
cover.
Big I mean, wall.
Merv.
Big walls, deep trenches.
So, you know.
Stick your head between your legs and. Yeah.
Right.
Your
ass so there's two things fundamentally that I see. First, there's no freaking aliens. I would actually love to have some aliens. As I've told before, I'm not really concerned about whether there are or not aliens. This is not aliens. I'm not like.
Do you know why Tom knows it's not aliens? He's a lizard person.
Look, we broke off contact long ago. Let's not. You know,
those are your people, Tom.
Completely separate. That's completely separate. Look, man, the treaty still holds.
All right, fair enough.
So, I do agree with one thing. Well, actually, two things that was brought up, and I think this is the flexing. You know, engineers long time have known how to design certain things to make certain things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the material engineering was not there.
Gotcha.
Right.
There's just...
Yeah.
And they did it. He build, did allude to that. Like, not...
Very, very much so. Yeah. And I think that's the flex. Like, we have gotten some, I don't know, high-end ceramic stuff or whatever it is that pushes beyond whatever barrier... And we can actually take this amount of stress.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I can't quite figure out. I can understand how certain things would happen in a very constrained environment where you've got the control mechanisms, but it's controlled from an outside. Basically, it's not the craft itself that's controlling it. It's something outside the craft that's controlling it.
Exactly. We made leaps and bounds with robotic technology.
I mean, the power plant is not within the craft. It's remotely tethered to something. And
this all goes back to Tesla. Just going to throw that out there.
All right. So that's one thing.
Okay. I'm following.
The other is that, I mean, this could all just be... The relative leap in computing abilities and the ability to manipulate signals, has the material science, which drove all that, because that's superconductors and semiconductors and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's all driven by material science. All the other stuff, all the math and physics and engineering stuff, all worked out. We just did not have the materials and the processes, you know, devil's in detail, to do that stuff.
Right.
But the computing abilities that we have now are such that, I mean, you can, I don't know if you've seen these things where like these people are like saying things and they call it what? The astral intelligence? No, artificial intelligence. That's it. The AI.
The AI, Tom? That was a long way to get there. I'm proud of you.
It's AI is very easy to fake this stuff.
AI is just an iteration on things. It's
look, let's not get back to
radar spoofing.
My people's treaty with.
All right. So we're talking about if
you entities wanna, that may not be of this world.
If you want to talk about, let's say, remote power, remote control without a power source on board, right? There was a thing pitched, the solar sail, very simple device. That was iterated on, and we talked about shooting lasers at a particular device to accelerate it close to, I think it was 62% the speed of light, somewhere around there, and also provided the power source for that unit going off into space, right? But to do that in atmosphere, completely different.
I got you. That's where I think the, and that's why I said ceramic. Okay, so think space shuttle, and you look
at the tiles, ceramic,
very high temperature stuff. You're looking at two extremes. It's either extraordinarily low density material. It's look up aerogel or something like
that. That's
it's
cool, like stuff
non-existent.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you're looking at a ceramic structure, which is basically pottery. You can think about pottery, and it's firing at the pottery.
Yeah,
those are the current materials that we have. Maybe somebody has gone to another level and figured out an entirely new, almost like state of matter combination for these things that can take not just the thermal stresses, because when you're moving that fast,
but the structural stuff too.
The structural stuff. And so that's like ceramics are very brittle, like, you know, change of motion. I think it is far more likely the case that this is, you're talking about jamming and signals and everything else, manipulating signals.
I think it's a very simple solution, because we know that like observable phenomenon is like the least reliable source of information.
It's like a game of telephone. It really is.
And even then, like, you can't always trust what you're seeing, because you're not always cognizant of, you know, the relativity between yourself and what you're observing, right? But there are a lot of ways to fool radar and to do other things and get around that. There's a lot of tech solutions for it. There's a lot of just
wild weasel.
I always think that the most obvious is probably the most accurate. And I think what happened here is that we were testing something in the same area that the military was flying in, and we were able to jam ourselves.
I like that we were testing something.
Yeah.
Where the military was.
Yeah. Tom gets it. But
John, it's been nice knowing you.
Yeah.
I will
I'll
see you on the news, man.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
If they do their jobs right.
God, they moved away that quick.
Yeah.
Weird.
No, I think we did it to ourselves. And I think the only reason we're doing this cover UAP, all this nonsense, is because it was found out by the military that other agencies were doing things with capabilities far greater than what they had. And it was basically to fool our own military into thinking we didn't have it. Because, again, it goes back to compartmentalization.
I don't think it has anything to do with fooling our own military. I think you're on pace with it's definitely adversarial based.
It's not.
We're sending a message.
It's not.
If it was, then that's exactly
what we're doing.
I am not going to get any more into it.
One follows the other.
All right. So I think the bigger picture here is we had this balloon come over from China.
Yeah.
If the people out there probably know, but, you know, our adversaries do have an ability to, like, track what we're doing, intercept what we're doing, listening to our messages and all this sort of stuff.
Yes.
And if they're listening in to hear, you know, your average Hornet F-18 pilot out there, like, what the heck is going on? They're tracking that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're listening to the superpower, say, like, I don't understand what's going on, then how does that play into your operational readiness? You know, what do you believe? Do you not believe?
How much are you going to go into that? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then where are you going to put your resources? Do you think that that's it? Exactly. So it's obfuscation. Yep. You're messing with the minds.
Yep.
And I think that's really well done. A secondary part of that is I think the reason that this came to fruition at the same time, it's because all the political stuff.
Yeah.
The part about skimming off the, I don't know if you've heard of this, but the guy was bringing up, well, they're skimming off the top of the budget and, you know, for all these black ops. Honestly, I don't think the American public is going to get pissed off of that because, honestly, I think the collective understanding of the American public has known this.
Yeah.
This has been going on since
it's always like been there. They're not skimming. That's always been there.
They're just hoping to get back Operation Climax. Like
they have worked the FAR, the Federal Acquisitions Regulations, to the point where, you know, okay, well, there's a change order. Well, the change order is aliens, man.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain amount, like, does the average citizen need to know about certain things?
Yes.
No.
Yes. No. Yes.
No. No, yes. No, no. There is a point. The pure transparency of government, I do not believe in. There's always...
That's an interesting point.
A certain amount that for operational security...
All right, so...
People don't... Mike, do you need to know where that unit is downrange?
Yes,
when
I do. Yes, I do.
No, you
do. Yes, I do.
No, you don't, because if you know it, so does everybody else.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true.
That's 100% true.
Well, excuse me. As it, John, we will never see John after the night.
Let's burn it down, baby.
So, Mike, you like to say everybody likes to talk about Viking shit until it's ready to do Viking shit?
Yeah.
More or less.
I've said that many times.
Yeah, yeah. So even during the Revolutionary War, there was a lot of secret operations going on, notes being passed back and forth in very unique ways.
Laundry problems.
Well, I mean, laundry hanging in a certain direction with certain colors of clothes meant a certain thing. Yep. Like there was a very deep understanding that you needed obfuscation to.
You had me at laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
Subterfuge.
Well done. Well done. Talk about callbacks.
Hey,
God damn, Tom.
Hey.
I don't think that's ever even been on our episode.
No, no. Yeah. It's too deep, man.
Just said he was chained to the bed, right?
That's right. Yeah, we never did the laundry thing.
Damn.
Wow. Missing so much, guys.
It's all about the laundry.
But yeah, so there's always an element of operational security that I would agree with.
Yeah, D-Day.
But yeah, exactly.
Classic.
Exactly. So operational security, I'm fine with. I'm fine with, and people should be like.
I feel like
government, our government should be good at.
That is what I'm talking
about. That's
what
we're
talking
about.
The operational security level, not
but now
tactical
now,
operational,
now,
not like strategic. You know, your big mission, what you're talking about.
Let me make
priorities.
Let me make my point. We have transitioned since I've been alive to always being operational. The government is always operational.
I
disagree with.
I don't agree that that's the case.
Well, factually, how can you disagree with that?
the surveilling of the United States populace to a degree that is just indefensible, in my opinion.
Yes, and I will concede that. That is absolutely a thing.
I'm also talking about external, though. We have been in operation since Desert Storm, Desert Shield, to the best of my knowledge, and probably before that.
Look, crisis response is its own fucking thing.
Yeah, but crisis response globally has never been a thing until, what, the 70s, the Great Turning.
Boogie bitty, boogie bitty, boogie bitty.
I would say possibly...
We're definitely in an underground facility right
50.
Now.
50... What Suez Canal 56 was, I would say, the turning point for that.
Okay.
Suez Canal, this is a quick background. Egypt, where Suez Canal's run through right beside Israel, said that they were going to nationalize the Suez Canal. Basically, they were going to take it over.
Yeah, 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 yep.
And this was Britain's empire was falling apart after World War II. So Britain and France Lawrence, empire Lawrence was falling apart as well.
It was going to affect the global economy.
They made a secret deal with Israel that Israel would invade, and then Britain and France would say, hey, you better pull back, and if not, we're going to come in and take over, and say it to both parties, Egypt and Israel.
Yeah.
Well, then Israel would pull back, and Egypt, of course, would say, we're not going to pull back because we're defending our territory. Well, that's exactly what happened. And then Britain and France came in, paratroopers and all, full assault, all this sort of stuff.
Hell yeah.
But the United States had been tracking all this stuff with all the plants and said, like, called out the old guard, which was Britain and France, and said, you better back off. You're not going to do that. We're not going to put up with that. Like the young upstart that was now the superpower.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it turned. That's where you had the old guard, Britain and France.
Deferring,
They definitely deferred because United States is like, you know, our theoretically closest allies, Israel, Britain, France. And they were like, the United States said, no, not no, but hell no, we're not going to do it.
Right.
And that's where I think it really started out. And then we went to Rhodesia in the 70s and some other stuff. A lot of AFRICOM stuff that we're still going through that nobody seems to know about.
Yeah, apparently. Nobody does.
Well,
not that it's happening.
No, well, not that nobody knows about it. Nobody pays attention to it because it is
nobody cares about Africa.
It's out there. It's out there.
I've long said that Nigeria, whatever, you know, that is for long, long time.
Well, Niger's going through a lot of interesting things
like
right now.
20 years.
Yeah.
Well, really just the whole Sahel. Like, you know, you talk about Islamic State activities and other shit going on there.
I hear they've spotted aliens over there.
Boko Haram.
You know what?
Aliens? Yeah. They're just white people.
They used to be green.
They're American, so I think they technically
are.
Now
they're white.
Thanks to vaccinations. Let's just throw all the things in there. Oh man. Lord. Yeah, this is pretty nice. This is a nice little setup.
Yeah.
Mikey, have you gotten over the audio deficiency?
I'm just not going to listen to it.
Okay. All
right. So, no, in terms of my monitor and what I'm hearing, it's
terrible.
It's whatever. Yeah. It is terrible, but it's going to be okay.
So, let's do a hard pivot. Jason Aldean.
Country singer, dude. Yeah.
Country singer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd never heard of this guy until this came
up.
Never.
Me too.
And I'm still not, because I've never listened to the song.
I have.
I did listen to it.
And saw the video.
And you guys watched the video?
Yeah.
So what exactly was the message?
So he lays out various different kinds of actual crimes, and he says, this will not happen in my town.
What?
Did he say my town, a small town?
Something like small town, buddy. But the message is, if somebody, like we were talking about cancel culture and small communities, you have a different scale in larger communities, and people in large cities depend upon the government to take care of things.
Yeah.
And this is why I sent that out. I said, this is Kenosha. This is absolutely Kenosha. But he's basically saying, in a small town, the local folks will come out. And if something goes wrong, when the government abrogates its duty, then the local populace not only will do something, but has a responsibility to take care of their own.
Sure.
The other side of that is clearly, just like with Kenosha and Rittenhouse, is this vigilante justice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So this was like the extremes of our political system. The right was saying, we are going to take care of our people. You can't come in and burn. They were showing Antifa rights. You can't burn down. You can't kill people and hurt people and take away their livelihood without the local community rising up and saying you can't do that. The left side was saying, well, that's vigilante justice. You don't have a right. We're a nation of laws. You have to depend upon the government to actually enact justice.
That's so twisted.
But that is the argument.
It is the argument. But it's twisted.
But it's also coming from the people that are actively burning things down.
I got you. I'm not supporting any of the, like, so he was showing
either way,
all sorts of violence.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things I thought was that they were saying that it was against BLM and it was all about lynching. But if you looked at the video, the relative proportion of white people that were doing all the violence is, I would say, it exceeds the 13% of the populace.
It's a
bunch of they took the Antifa stuff out because of some copyright strike
Okay. Or, well, because it's a government agency that's doing that. That's why.
Aliens,
that
man.
No, it's definitely not aliens.
Why aliens came out because of Jason Aldean.
Now it's making sense,
CIA guy was like, hey, that's my operation. You can't make music videos about that.
That's our training
video.
Exactly
what happened. This is how we recruit. Don't do that.
I'll have to go check it out because I didn't. But what I have seen is, I'm on Facebook and I see the worst of the worst and everything. So on both sides. So I see hardcore, he's a racist and fucking blah, blah, blah and all this stuff. And I see that, I see hard right stuff as well.
I think that's the normies, though, for the most part. Like, I've been told this, so therefore I parrot this.
Oh, so I took a
And that's on both sides. I'm not saying one way or the other, but I think.
Well, and to clarify, I'm seeing this on Facebook, right? Which is like a breeding ground for all of that.
Also, CIA.
Approximately half of the population is below average intelligence.
You know what I learned, and this is on the same vein, Tom. Look, when I lose my keys, it's always the last place that I look.
the last place they were.
Yeah.
Always.
I'm just always. And it's a truism.
It's like never not that.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, I took an Uber the other week, and very nice lady, but she started ranting about like the nation and all this stuff. And I couldn't tell if she was like for one side or against one side until she said, one thing, and I can't remember, it was sort of the shock in my mind. She said that there was a video of Biden saying something and doing something, and it was clearly some deep fake AI or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was just listening to her because I'm thinking, all right, no matter how bad the man is, like, this is
he did not do this.
There is no way. Yeah, no. This is complete, like, I don't know what. But she was completely convinced, and she was mad.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. That is the next frontier, like AI, deepfake.
No, it's not.
It's the next level of information warfare.
Nah, solar flare, man.
I mean, we can hope for a solar flare, but...
I think those are opposite ends of the spectrum of the information warfare. There's either, like, completely faking everybody or completely wiping it out
Let's nuke the sun.
Exactly. So, but she was... absolutely convinced and mad as hell. Like, mad and I was hell. Thinking,
and she was ready to do something about it.
I mean, it was sort of,
what was her name?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Yes. And I gendered her, and I said I got a ride, and then I went.
Let's so ruin everybody.
I cut down half of the population.
If I'm going down, everybody's going down with me.
I like it.
But anyway. So I see how this stuff comes through, and I'm like,
who's doing the tapping?
Nobody.
I don't have my fidget spinner.
Weird. just pause for a moment, folks. Let's just take everything in.
I stop. This is a reinforced concrete floor, but
you guys hear it?
This is your fault. I told you this.
This is fantastic.
I will say
swinging
that.
Back and forth,
so like,
too.
It is. You only need approximately 3 seconds of audio from somebody in order to.
Trigger them.
Literally recreate their voice.
Yeah, that is true. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a pretty accurate metric from what.
Yes. Backwards recordings.
Oh, the 70s.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's coming back.
Is it like the whole Helter Skelter thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they went and they did this full on study on it now, where if you listen to everything backwards, people actually give you the intentions behind what they're saying.
Oh, no, I heard that years ago.
Yeah.
They actually can't. It's like reading the paragraphs where all the letters are missing and such.
Yeah, yeah.
That you actually can.
Yes.
Not everybody can, but there's a certain percentage of the population on some bell curve. Some can just like have an immediate flash at it and basically read it without any problem. Some, they'll never get it. But there are people just like that that have heard these recordings because they were doing randoms, not like the whatever the hell got all this sort of stuff. But they would record stuff and play it back.
Well, the
and they're like, oh, they could completely understand what they were saying.
Well, it wasn't even that. So the CIA did a study on this, and I'm just going to keep going down the track.
Is this like reading sentences backwards?
No.
Like when you see it? And you,
well, yeah, I guess, so, but it's audio.
So some guy did a study in the 70s, like you said, and he was listening to politicians backwards. And what they were saying and what they meant when they heard it backwards were two completely different things.
But how do you
in terms of a scientific study, right?
Like if we're actually gonna prove this thing, how do you
Roofers are furious about this.
How do you shout out to roofers.
Yep.
How do you measure intentionality or how do you even prove that?
I have to pull this up.
It's a very interesting concept, but I feel like it's a very hard variable to kind of measure in any sense of the word.
Who did this? This is going to be pretty chintzy, but I think this is going to give us a good lowdown. All right. You ready to go?
We love chintzy.
All right.
Three David Oates dropped his Walkman into the toilet. Now, if you're under 40,
so this
years
is the
old,
Y files.
Walkman was a portable cassette player. If you're under 30, a cassette was how we listened to music in the Stone Age. Anyway, after being
fuck
dropped,
you. This
David's
guy's awesome,
tape
by the
player
way.
Would only play tapes in reverse. Now, at first, he thought this was entertaining. There are lots of songs that contain hidden messages that you can only hear if you play them backwards.
Then that's what you're talking
those
about.
Messages were placed
Led Zeppelin did it. Like a lot of people
soon
did it.
David discovered messages.
Some people intentionally, but most of the time they
that
weren't.
Were not intentional. Messages that were put there by the speaker's subconscious. Now, it turns out we all do this. In fact, when we lie, our subconscious actually encodes the truth.
They investigated this. This is an actual thing.
We tell. Now, this is really interesting because that means the truth about every conspiracy is right in front of your nose, if you know how to find it.
So what he's saying, and I'm not going to get his whole episode because I don't want to.
It's very pseudo.
Like, it's not. So there was a study done by the CIA and a guy from the 70s that basically, it still exists today, where they listen to backwards recordings of things to find what the messaging is. Okay. Right? So,
and then was it followed up with polygraphy or?
Yes, it was validated.
Okay.
So if you're intentionally, I know you don't like this, but it's a
you
thing.
Can still fake a polygraph, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, thumbtack in your toe. Yeah. No, I'm not, that's actually a thing.
Yeah,
that was like from the 40s or 50s. I can't remember where. But like, so what it means is that you can suss out what somebody is actually trying to say based off of tonality, right? So it's not the words themselves.
No, it's intonation. It's, speed and inflection.
Yes. So you can, if you're lying to somebody over and over again, or you're talking to a, like you have a speech and you're, you know, saying one thing, but you intend something different. If you play it backwards, you can suss that out through it.
So if I just record a lot of the situations and where I try to explain something very badly and mean something different, I can just play it backwards and we can suss that out?
Yes.
Interesting.
All right, so it's David Oates. Sorry, not the 70s. 1983. David Oates is the guy that has done this research.
So a little background for the audience that probably is not familiar with this. There were some songs. Was heavy metal band, sort of speed metal.
Like Metallica?
Earlier. Oh, gosh, I can't believe
Iron Maiden?
No.
Judas Priest?
Judas Priest is probably one of the most famous cases of this. And it wasn't just the backwards. The first one was maybe some Helter Skelter and some other stuff. But there was a series of these songs that came out that were either direct or subliminal influences. And impressionable individuals, generally teenage boys, killed themselves or killed other people.
Yeah.
And there was a huge, and John can get into this with a great turning, there was a huge scare about Satanism. And there was major cults. In the 60s, there were a lot of like counterculture groups and such, but it was all peace and love.
Yeah.
And then that turned into a bit more radical action later in the 60s and early 70s. Like there were domestic terrorist groups all over the place, kidnapping, bombing, shooting, and everything.
Yeah.
And then that morphed into sort of a different outlet, and it was like Satanists. Like, we have Satanists, and they are taking our children, and they're programming them. And
yeah, D&D. Yeah.
About that time. And so there was a huge... And it wasn't just the Satanists. There were these like crazy, supposedly Christian, whatever. Like, I got what was the cult? There were a lot of cults. There was like the.
Oh, you're talking about the South America guy?
Jim Jones.
Yeah, Jim Jones. West Coast too. There was an Indian guy that had the. What was it? It was.
There was like hookers for Jesus or something too. Yeah. Where this guy like took, I don't know, like 12-year-old girls or something. Yep. I mean, there's
it's
all
really
sorts of
terrible.
Crazy, 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 horrible stuff.
The CIA did all that. I'm just kidding.
Once again, we will never see John after tonight. It is all coming out. It's all coming out.
So I want to get something through here so like people don't think I'm just being random, all right? So, oh, geez.
I thought it was the FBI, not the CIA.
I love the name.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, Men in Black?
Stargate.
So reverse speech research, you can mail in anything that you find to the CIA at 214-324-3216 or fax them at 214-324-1191. And that basically they're collecting a whole bunch of reverse speech data to suss out whether or not people are lying.
Can we play this,
This is an actual program.
Yeah.
This is an actual program with the CIA right now that is currently going on.
Building a database.
John, I'm not sure if you've ever worked for the United States government.
I haven't.
But
it never happened.
If you had, you might have been exposed to some programs where you would look at and say, like, are we really spending money on this?
Shrimp on treadmills.
And people are actually employed doing this?
Shrimp on treadmills, man. I got it. I get it. But I just want to throw it out there.
But I understand you've never been employed by the government.
Never.
You don't understand. It's actually possible that
it just seems like, you know, this is something that would be, if it was true, everybody should want to know about.
Well,
that's exactly what an infantry guy
would say. Since you're not going to be around anymore, and my people live underground primarily.
Oh, no. He's going to be around a little while. He's going to assassinate somebody on a grassy
knoll. Well,
Jesus Christ.
Look. As clearly I have the ability to phase change, I will tell you. We got one more left. Between the... As John, calls
guys.
My people,
it's a joke.
The reptilians,
yeah,
and the
Sleestaks, actually, as they're known by other people.
You know, yeah. that's a slur. You know, I mean,
where did the slur? What other alien species gave you the Sleestak name?
I don't want to get into that. I mean, that's
compartmentalized information, Tom?
That's what really led to the last treaty being broken.
Was it the Grays?
You know,
did their long fingers hurt you?
It was a cold day.
Yeah,
and, you know, we don't do well in the cold. So
I like
you know, it is.
I like it.
I mean, I can't defend the actions of some, but it just led to the breaking of the last treaty. So anyway, in the current treaty. Between
the Sleestaks and the Grays? Come on, let's know, man.
Let's
let
say
know.
My people and the Outworlders.
All right.
The other.
You know,
there's always that.
There is.
I'm not saying that we've come to a point that some of our technology may be coming to the forefront. It was a bad negotiation.
Did you give us the Walkman? Was it you guys?
If only you'd played the whole negotiation backwards.
The boombox, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, by the way.
It was the Outworlders that came up with the that little thing. I mean, it is what it is. You know, it's a different experience.
Yeah. The MP3 player?
What are you?
What? What little thing are you?
No, magnetic strip audio.
Oh. You said, like, I'm having a hard time following this.
Jamming. Boom box, baby. Boom box.
So you made they gave you the magnetic piece.
Look, man, my people live close to magma. These people are out in the cold space. We try.
Did you guys invent breakdancing?
I have no comment.
Tectonic shift.
Yeah, I like it. So at around this point in time, we're going to try to end the episode somehow and put everything together.
Classic.
in one concise round table.
It's all coming to a screeching halt.
I mean, the table's not round. It's not even really a table.
It's more like a right angle.
It is. Oh, actually, this is personification of a right triangle.
Yeah. A right triangle?
It is
a right triangle. It depends on how you want to break it up.
Look, it could be a wrong triangle, too. But
Tom's really thinking about that now.
Well, it's like a carpenter's square, actually. But you know.
Oh, yeah. Hey, all right. So we're going to do the square table. Tom. Any last words before we all go away?
Well, before, you know, John, it's been nice. I thought that our people were coming together. I know you are still jealous about the pyramids.
Well, you call this a square.
So everybody is it kept claiming them off-world. Tom, we get no credit. We get no credit for that.
Tom, was it a giant pyramid or a giant square? Tell me.
We get no credit for that. And you know...
Or a cube.
I'm just saying, I try not to take things personally, but I am taking the pyramids personally. So, you know, I don't want to go much beyond that because we are trying to close this out. And lastly, I would say, don't believe geometry.
That's fair. You don't believe it. I like it.
All right. So there's no such thing as a line. I do know that. It's unprovable.
Okay.
Yep. So, Mike, what do you got?
In the words of Lumily, the only hope is the sweet relief of death.
Gay.
I thought it would be the sweet embrace of death.
Sweet relief, Tom. This is... This is, you know,
well,
such an effort.
So this is a big... I know we're done, but, you know, obviously when y'all's tails are cut off, they don't grow back. So there's a disconnect here. Regeneration is not a thing.
For the lessers among you. Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
Folks, man, it's been great.
It has been.
We're all going to die.
And then something else is going to happen.
It's been real. It's been fun.
It has been, but it hasn't been real fun.
It has not been real fun.
It's been real and it's been fun.
Yeah.
Tom's having a moment. Embrace it.
We should have opened with this so everybody knows to listen to this at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
You know what? I don't understand what this yacht rock is.
This is the outro, folks, and it's going to go for a while.
And what did we say?
You can blame it all on me.
I don't think John's coming back. Mike's in denial. I'm going back into the cave, man.
Parody is not enough to say.
You know, yacht rock is information warfare because it's soft rock and somebody couldn't say it right and it turned into yacht rock.
Look, dude, I played a classic rock thing on Wednesday, right?
Sweet 70s gold.
Green Day came on.
What?
Exactly.
Did it hurt your feelings?
It did.
Mike, this is a part of growing old, buddy.
It hurt my feelings in a way that no political party ever could.
Just wait.
Baby, come back. All right, folks, that's the end of this episode. Probably this season. Maybe this program. We don't know. Or do we?
No, we don't. We don't.
Does anybody know?
Are you saying it's all up in the air?
Does anybody really know? I don't think so.
I like that.
You know?
Pepperidge Farm knows.
Pepperidge Farm does know.
All right, folks. Peace.